Are your digital operations a well-oiled machine or a tangled mess? Is your end-user experience breaking through or breaking down? Now is the time for an operations intervention. If you need to consolidate software, reduce costs, and build resilience, all you need is PagerDuty's Operations Cloud. It's the essential platform for operating in a complex digital world. Get started at PagerDuty.com today.
Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by PagerDuty. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Like so many large departments, the Energy Department has a far-flung roster of employees supported by a variety of applications. For how it ensures enterprise applications stay at the top of their performance and stability, I checked in with the Director of Cybersecurity Operations at the Energy Department, Ty Brown, and the Associate Deputy Chief Information Officer for Enterprise IT Operations and Shared Services, Greg Doan, whom you hear first.
At headquarters, with which we're primarily responsible, we host the chief financial officer's financial systems, so the corporate human resource systems and the financial systems, primarily in Azure these days. A lot of our web applications, many of our customers, you know, have web front ends for engaging with the public. Many of those are within our AWS offering. So
everything is pretty much cloud hosted.
From our perspective, you know, again, I think we're representative of the department, but we are not the whole department. And we are predominantly cloud-based at this point. We're finishing up the final stages of moving some stuff to the cloud. We're probably 98%.
And moved. What about the user base? I mean, what are the scope of the applications that you just outlined?
So some of those applications are, in fact, DOE enterprise-wide, and DOE is a large organization consisting of federal staff and contractors. There are a lot more contractor staff because of the national labs than there are federal. But so some of those applications are for all of the federal staff. Some of them are for all of the employees, federal and contractor, enterprise-wide, and some are just targeted at headquarters employees as well. So it's a broad mix.
All right. And so the issue then becomes keeping these things up and running all the time, good customer experience. And that's not the sole responsibility of the cloud, is it?
It is not. The cloud is the infrastructure component to a broad perspective. So it's up to us from the monitoring performance and availability to ensure that it's kept up and the administration of the applications themselves. And then, of course, you know, a key component of that is cybersecurity, making sure they're available.
Right. And let's talk about that a little bit, Ty.
So we're very lucky that we have a great teammate with our friends over at EITS who really help us when something goes bump in the night. Frequently, it's something, you know, we're going to research that, we're going to dive into and look and see what's going on there. Having a reliable, up-to-date network and application stack really helps us with identifying whether we're looking at anomaly, something that's just ordinarily going to happen, a false positive, versus potential malicious action. We go very deep. We track both sides of that because we don't want to keep responding to the same false positive. We want to share the information that we get. You mentioned earlier, we're a federated environment. We can't afford to keep these things to ourselves. So we do leverage a fair amount of intelligence and information sharing to make sure that we're all in step on what these threats are that are coming down the pike.
Yeah, there's two ways, I guess, to look at what's going on. One could be, is there a malicious something happening, or is there some breakage occurring? Is there something that could threaten the network and the application that's coming in? And then there's also looking at it from the effect standpoint. Is it interrupted? Is it slowing down? Are there some things that aren't happening that should happen in the back end? So you really have to look at it from both sides. Would that be a fair way to put it?
We look at it from all sides. We have to innovate. Our threat actors are doing everything they can to get in with us, to get past our defenses, to get to our users, to get to our data. So you mentioned a couple of things. If something goes down, if something slows down, it has an operational impact, but it may also have a security impact as well. So we need to work very, very closely with our infrastructure teams to make sure that these things don't happen.
Right. And tell us about the automation aspect of this. As you said, you can't respond to every little possible thing because the alerts are pretty much continuous.
Correct. We are under attack right now. We're being scanned, probed every second. So what we have to do is leverage a fair amount of automation to get that volume out of the way. Have we seen this before? And that goes back to the documentation and sharing of intelligence. If we've seen it, let's make sure we understand it as well as possible so that if it does happen again, we have a fairly good confidence interval that this is a false positive. But if it looks the slightest bit different, we need to go in and either document this is enemy action or this is, you know, one more step in that false positive chain.
And besides people that are trying to hack in for malicious purposes, whatever, other things can affect the performance and the availability of an application other than direct malicious threats, correct?
Oh, absolutely. The performance of the cloud infrastructure, so we work closely with our cloud service providers on, you know, availability and ensuring things are there. We deploy a broad number of monitoring tools from performance of the application level and the network infrastructure level, looking for anomalies. And then, you know, a lot of the citizen customers for applications are coming across the internet. So we have to be aware of that as well, that there may be, you know, factors influencing performance outside of our own network. So,
yeah, what kind of interaction is there with outside of energy department? Because you don't think of energy as one of those retail types of departments like State Department, where I'm having a terrible time trying to update my passport.
As Ty mentioned, the department is federated. There's a lot of different program offices and they have different missions. And some of those program offices are very citizen focused. So EERE, Enterprise Energy and Renewable Energy, I think that's what it stands for. But they're focused on the public. They work in concert with other agencies like EPA and offer advice and grants and steer the public towards how to modernize their homes from a, you know, insulation or energy efficiency perspective. And then there are other programs that are doing research, ARPA-E, the Advanced Research Project Agency, -E Energy, where they're trying to innovate. And so they're working closely with the public and trying to bring new and emerging technologies to the market.
Plus, you have the CSER operation, which deals with industry, which is external and not contractors.
CSER deals, yes, primarily with the energy infrastructure. So the resiliency of the energy infrastructure out there. The Department of Energy doesn't really have anything to do with delivering energy
right
to your home, but we interface with all manner of the power marketing administrations and CSER that deal with the infrastructure, with industry, and those various partners out there that do bring that electricity to the American people.
But the point is there's external parties that regularly and in volume interact with energy department systems.
Absolutely.
And what about when you do discover an anomaly of whatever cause that could interrupt something, or maybe it's an update coming from one of the software manufacturers or the cloud that could break things? You know, they think they're doing you good, and they are, but they can also do harm also. How do you respond? I mean, is most of this orchestrated, or does it require someone to be on the phone and run in and do something?
It's very much orchestrated. Almost every event is pretty unique, but we have good SOPs. I won't name the company, but I think we're all familiar with the event that took place a few months ago that brought down a large portion of the cloud infrastructure. That was a highly coordinated event that we dealt with, you know, both from, you know, what is it? What's going on? What are the impacts to the systems? What are the impacts to the department's mission? And, you know, how are we reacting? Who's doing what, coordinating, and feeding that information up to our senior leadership so they could feed it up to the White House.
And with respect to the people that are touching the systems or maintaining them and monitoring them, what's the extent of staff requirements day to day just to make sure all of this infrastructure and all these applications do stay up and running, and who's watching?
I mean, it's hard to quantify because, again, we know what we do. Ty mentioned it earlier. EITS is Energy IT Services. It's sort of a made-up internal brand name for the services we deliver to a broad swath of customers across the department. Part of our portfolio is the wide area network that connects more than 60 different DOE sites. And so that, along with our corporate systems that we support, 15,000 different desktops, and you know, we have a staff right now, a contract staff of around 400 or so, give or take, that support those efforts. And that's across 15 different states, I think, that we have staff and customers.
And do they have dashboards that they can watch things remotely so they don't have to stand there like in a data center or in a cloud? I guess they won't let you in a cloud.
Absolutely. Just like Ty indicated, from a cyber perspective, our network operations center, they're leveraging dashboards. They're leveraging different tools, machine learning, AI-based tools these days for, you know, responding to anomalous events and then digging in and looking at what's the root cause, what's the impact, and what does our response need to look like.
Greg Doan, Associate Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Energy Department, and Ty Brown, Director of Cybersecurity Operations there, will return with more of the interview after the short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Are your digital operations a well-oiled machine or a tangled mess? Is your end-user experience breaking through or breaking down? Now is the time for an operations intervention. If you need to consolidate software, reduce costs, and build resilience, all you need is PagerDuty's Operations Cloud. It's the essential platform for operating in a complex digital world. Get started at PagerDuty.com today.
Welcome back to our interview with Ty Brown, Director of Cybersecurity Operations at the Energy Department, and Greg Doan, the Associate Deputy CIO. Our topic is enterprise application performance, reliability, and security. And we mentioned earlier that there are things that can break applications other than cybersecurity events. And one of those is, as you mentioned, an update coming from a well-intentioned supplier, Greg. But these kinds of things do not only break those applications, but it could update the application, but break some kind of call to a database or some kind of communication link later on. And what's your strategy for watching out for that and making sure that doesn't happen and then remediating it when you do discover it?
Well, from an IT operations perspective, which I am, it ties more on the cyber side, but it's very similar. And you're looking at the triad of confidentiality, you know, integrity, and availability. So we want to understand the impacts of the event, regardless of whether it was a malicious cyber event. Does it compromise the confidentiality of the data or the system, or the integrity of the data or the system, or the availability? Typically, availability is the first thing we see, but then we dig in to understand whether or not there were any impacts on the other legs of the stool.
Right. You'll probably hear about it if there are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We work closely with our customers. We support most of the infrastructure and don't do too much of the application support itself, although that seems to be evolving as we go to the cloud, where our organization is more engaged in the application level. But we work closely with our existing customers to understand, you know, what are the impacts to their schedules. Like you say, there could be batch updates related to payroll processing or lots of other things. And are those going to be impacted? And, you know, what are the downstream effects of those?
And you mentioned there are contractors supporting a lot of this operation. If something happens at 4 a.m. on Sunday or, you know, midnight on Tuesday type of thing, is there a way of making sure that the right person gets contacted? Because a lot of this is shift work for the contractors that are supporting.
I'm sure it's similar on Ty's side, on the cyber side, because they run the IJC3, the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center. But on the network operations side of things, yes, it's a 24/7 operation. We maintain call-out lists. We do periodic exercises, you know, tabletop exercises. And unfortunately, all too often, I'll get a call in the middle of the night when something is happening outside of work hours.
But. And just not to get too fine-grained on this, but suppose you're on vacation and you can't help. You know, you're in Maui and somebody needs to flip a switch in Germantown. What happens?
Well, we try not to be single-threaded in any area from an incident response perspective. So if I or somebody else in another role is not available, then somebody else is filling that role.
And how about on the cyber side, Ty?
We're 24/7, 365. We don't want to single track anything. We want to have plans inside of plans. And very much like Greg, we have our routine operations, our SOPs, and it smartly escalates. It's very rare that we're going to get to a point where it should never get to a point where we only have one person that can make a decision, throw the switch, or something like that. If we happen to discover something like that, we're going to turn around and take a lessons learned from that. We're going to build on our mistakes, our shortcomings, anything that we can to improve our system. It's our responsibility to the citizens to make sure that we are addressing these things as intelligently as possible.
And how often do you have incidents that raise to the level of real intervention needed by people?
It's a routine thing. The world has changed. We have phishing attempts happen daily. There are malicious websites springing up everywhere. The very nature of energy is that they need to innovate. That's the whole beauty of our national labs and the Department of Energy, is that these really smart people need to be able to research, go out there and see what's out there. And sometimes they do encounter something that we do need to worry about. So we try to handle these things at the lowest level possible, but we're always making sure that the proper parties are informed and that we're sharing what we've learned from these incidents. It's not a matter of just flipping a switch to turn off the bad thing. We then need to turn to our colleagues and say, we just saw this. This is what we learned. And sometimes we get some fusion there and we get a much broader sense of what's going on. And now we're proactive and we're preventing these attacks before they happen.
Right. And you both responded to come to this interview and talk about this topic. So there is interplay between the cyber operation and the infrastructure CIO channel that you're in, Greg. And so do you share that information? In other words, if an application stops, you probably both want to know why, whether it's a malicious cyber, an accidental cyber. I mean, user error can cause this too, and or these updates and whatever the case might be.
Absolutely. We have to work hand in hand. It's a joint effort, because when something first happens, you don't know. It may seem benign or just a network node going down or something along those lines, but you don't know that until you dig in. So Ty's group, the IJC3, they feed information to us so we can update. We do the actual firewall updates and things of that nature, IDS, IPS, intrusion detection, intrusion prevention. So we update those manually where needed. Most of that is automated through subscriptions and other activities. But where someone in the department has identified something, that they'll feed it to us so that we can be looking for it. And then when we have events, we notify them as well so that they can be there from the ground up, and just in case it is something other than, you know, just a network event. So,
you know, in the data center era, the agencies that operated data centers also had the hardware components to deal with. And because hardware dies and crashes and people plug in something to the wrong port when they're fiddling around in there, has the cloud gotten you totally out of hardware worry? Or is there some infrastructure just to stay connected to the cloud?
The cloud has certainly gotten us out of the need to worry about the devices themselves and, you know, refresh and, you know, capital expenditure, things of that nature. But the cloud is not bulletproof. And we've seen a number of events where the large cloud service providers or the large software as a service applications have had their challenges, and it'll impact our IT operations and the ability of the department to conduct its mission on occasion.
Yeah, I think we've seen both Microsoft and Google outages on a national basis for consumers and organizations, so it does happen. But then there's also the end user devices, which are in control of the department and, you know, under your policy. So that's an IT risk and a cyber risk also.
But you're literally talking about our employees, our assets, our prime assets. This is risk that we have to accept and hopefully moderate with policy. We educate our users. We want them to be smart. And by and large, every time we have interactions with them, they want to do the right thing. The world is changing very, very fast. And so we have to step up our education game. We can't afford to have security and obscurity, which is a term that used to hear a lot, and now it's that's not a way to work anymore. So it's not as simple as looking. You can't turn off the user And you can't make work so hard for the user that they have to hack their own systems to get around the policy, the technical interruptions to their work. We have to be very smart with that and listen to them and take that into account.
And we couldn't have a conversation like this without talking about artificial intelligence. And a lot of people are looking to apply that to operational situations, both physical operations and cyber and, you know, electronic operations. Are you looking at it, and do you see any value in how it could be applied?
So AI is an incredible tool. It's very new. It's something that there's a lot of fear around. But I think most of us in our professional lives have wanted to have that extra set of eyes looking over our shoulder and saying, hey, did you consider this? Did you see this? And that's really the state that we're seeing AI at right now. There's tremendous capability there. Anybody who tells you they can predict what AI is going to look like in 20 years, I challenge that. It's going to be amazing. But right now we're cautious with it. We are using it. It's yielding results.
And how about on the operations side, outside of cyber? Is there predictive analysis applications, or we know that, you know, we get a peak load? What does this mean over the long term for every Tuesday at 7 in the morning?
Certainly. A number of the tools that we leverage for infrastructure and application monitoring have on their own, you know, the vendors and the SaaS providers have integrated AI, and, you know, for years, machine learning and now AI capabilities within their product suites. And so we're looking, how do we better leverage that? And additionally, going forward, when it comes to infrastructure as code, software-defined networking, things along those lines, where there'd be more, like you say, more predictive ways of using it as opposed to just scripted and canned ways of using it. You know, we're excited about what that's going to look like from an IT operations perspective.
But with all of this automation, orchestration, and artificial intelligence, you never kind of relax totally, do you?
We do not. Certainly, as we're working to implement AI for our end users' use and using it for ourselves, there's a real key focus on ensuring that that's done safely and securely not just from a cyber aspect and the safety aspect of, you know, ensuring that there's no bias or there's no other factors that are going to influence, you know, what the particular model may do with, you know, something unintended. So.
And Ty, final word?
AI is the new guy. And like anybody that's new to the office, you're going to eventually give it some work and you're going to keep a very weather eye on it and make sure that it's performing as expected. I don't see it being cut loose anytime soon, but it's very glad to have that second opinion.
Ty Brown, Director of Cybersecurity Operations at the Energy Department, and Greg Doan, Associate Deputy Chief Information Officer for Enterprise IT Operations and Shared Services. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by PagerDuty on Federal News Network.
Your organization is modern, so why aren't your operations? Now is the time for an operations intervention. The PagerDuty Operations Cloud is the essential platform for automating and accelerating mission-critical work across your entire organization. Through automation and AI, PagerDuty helps you operate with more resilience, more security, and more savings. Are you ready to transform your operations? Get started at PagerDuty.com today.